अज्ञान्तिमिदन्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जलशलाकाय चक्षुरुं मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः। जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। ओके सो राजीव प्रभु वुड यू स्टार्ट रीडिंग? एनी डिवोटी लाइक डिवोटीज कैन टेक टर्न एंड दे कैन ऑल्सो रीड। Where did we end last time? Anyone remember?
That's what I'm just wondering where it was. I'm just trying to see that.
Okay.
Was it 20th May?
I think I got it.
20th May ka?
Huh?
20th May ka tha kya?
No, I got it. Okay, start from 14th of May.
14th में
14th में हंस दूता
हंसा दत्ता हरे कृष्णा कैन यू हियर मी?
यस या आई कैन हियर या।
ओके तो हंसा दत्ता से शुरू करना है ना?
Hansaduta
to be connected to Prabhupada, that one? Yeah. So Hansaduta to be connected to Prabhupada, to receive his sanction, that was the whole thing. Material qualifications had nothing to do with it. When I gave a lecture to the faculty at Harvard University, I thought, this is Krishna consciousness. Here I am giving a lecture to the faculty of Harvard University and they have no idea that I am a high school dropout. After I finished the lecture, I said, this is the power of the pure devotee. By his mercy, a person who has no qualification can be in an orbit that would not be normally possible. The material world was over. I was in complete ecstasy. My hairs were standing on end and I was crying like anything. I can't even remember if I paid my obeisances. I was so stunned and bowled over by a great feeling of relief. All I had to do was follow Srila Prabhupada and everything would be taken care of.
Yeah. So, by the mercy of Prabhupada and the pure devotees, anything and everything is possible. In the Shastra, it is mentioned that a blind person can start seeing and a lame man can start climbing mountains. So similarly, when we get the mercy of pure devotee, there are a lot of transformations that happen and we can actually experience all these things. When we are in the material world without Krishna consciousness, we are fearful, we are not confident about many things. Like, you know, for example, many introvert people, they are afraid to be extrovert, or especially when they are asked to speak in front of everyone. So by the mercy of Prabhupada, the introvert becomes extrovert. And whoever is extrovert, if they need to become more introvert, then they also become introvert. So everything is possible by the mercy of pure devotees like Srila Prabhupada. Okay. Next.
Bhutatma. I grew up near the beach, and like a lot of other people, I always enjoyed the pleasing sound of the waves as they break and then ebb. Once we were walking on the beach when Prabhupada stopped to listen to those sounds of for a minute. Then he said, "This sound of waves retreating is the sound of the gopis sighing for Krishna." I thought, no wonder it's so pleasing. Ever since then, when I hear those mournful and bittersweet sounds, I think of Prabhupada's words.
Yeah. So Prabhupada was seeing Radha Krishna everywhere, and he could relate anything with Krishna. And I think there was a similar pastime where even the sound of the horns of the car, also Prabhupada said that this sound is actually remind me of Krishna. Okay. So similarly here also, the sound of the waves, how Prabhupada is actually connecting to the separation of the gopis from Krishna. So this is actually the Uttama Adhikari who is seeing everywhere, everything, Krishna and Radha. Okay.
Next. Atma Tattva. In the early 80s in Bangalore, I was required to make at least 2 life members a month. I was a bad life membership maker, and 1 month I had only 10 days left. I was looking in the telephone directory for Bengali names, and I found a Ganguly. I called and said, "I'm speaking from the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. I want to come and see you today." Mr. Ganguly sounded positive. He said, "Oh, you are from the Hare Krishna movement. Please see me at 11 o'clock. I took the membership form, a small set of books, a poster and so on. And I went to see. To my surprise, I found that his was a huge place, almost equal to the aeronautical engineering place in Bangalore. I lost hope. There was no way this man was going to become a member. I went to one secretary, then another, and when my appointment time came, I was still with secretaries. Ganguly was the top man, I thought. Since I came all this way, I should see him. Finally, they brought me into a big air-conditioned cabin where a meeting was going on. Ganguly told everyone, "I have to talk to the Hare Krishna now, so you all go." And he closed the meeting. I came in, spread the books on his table and put the poster up. I knew that I wouldn't have much time with him. So I was brief. I said, "I'm sure you know about this movement. We have a branch here and we have applied for land. You are a Bengali. You should be proud of this because our Guru Maharaj is also Bengali and he has spread the Hare Krishna movement all around the world. I'm sure you appreciate the service. So would you become a life member?" And then I was silent. He got his checkbook and said, "What is the amount?" I said, $2,222. He said, "I'll give you a donation and you can also make me a life member." He wrote a check of $10,000 and gave it to me. I was moved. I said, "Thank you very much. This is a nice gesture." He said, "I wasn't convinced by your preaching." I said, "I didn't think I convinced you either." He said, "I want to tell you something. My father grew up in Calcutta and was a classmate of your founder Acharya. Every day Abhay came to our house on his bike, carrying a little lunch, tiffin, and he and my father played chess. The stake for the chess game was lunch. Whoever lost the game had to feed the other. Almost every day Abhay won. Later, this man's father received a PhD in Sanskrit and became a professor in the local university. He would tell people, 'The Maharaj who founded the Hare Krishna movement was my classmate and he came to my house every day when we were growing up.' He said that Abhay told him, 'You should help me later on when I do something.' He would ask, 'What is that something?' But Abhay did not explain what he meant. Years later, this senior Ganguly learned that the same Abhay became Bhaktivedanta Swami, went to New York and so forth, that there was a local Calcutta center on Albert Road and that Prabhupada was coming to visit. By this time, the junior Ganguly, who I was speaking with, was in high school. And for 3 days, he came to see Prabhupada in the Calcutta ISKCON temple. Since he looked like his father, Prabhupada recognized him. The junior Ganguly said, "I am the son of such and such." Prabhupada said, "Where is he?" "He didn't come. Tell him I want to see him." Later, the son told the father, "Maharaj wants to see you." His father said, "How can I go and see him? He is the guru of the world and I am a grihamedi." His son said, "But he wants to see you and tomorrow he is going to ask me, why didn't you bring your father?" Feeling shy and small, the father said, "Tell him that I am sick." The next day, Prabhupada asked the junior Ganguly, "Your father didn't come. He's feeling sick." "Oh, he's sick. Okay, I'll come and see him." When the junior told his father that Prabhupada would come, his father said, "How will he come to our house?" The next morning, instead of his usual route, Prabhupada, followed by some disciples, walked down one alley after another, arrived at the Ganguly house and rang the bell. The son came to the door and saw Prabhupada, his disciples and a huge crowd of onlookers in front of his house. Prabhupada and a couple of devotees went in and Prabhupada went straight to the bedroom where the senior Ganguly was laying down. Not sick, but tired and broken. Prabhupada sat next to him, poked him like a friend does and said, "Hey, you didn't come to see me," in Bengali. The senior Ganguly was shocked to see the Hare Krishna devotees in his house. He asked his wife, "Please bring something for them." Prabhupada said, "My disciples need to learn Sanskrit. I told you, you should come help me. Come and teach them Sanskrit. You can travel around the world with me and teach them. Why don't you do that? You come, I will take you," Ganguly said. Ganguly said, "Oh, Swamiji, I am very old and I don't have any spiritual energy." "No, you have the spark. The same quality that's in me is also in you. You should join this movement. It is very important." Bharat Bhumite Manushya Janma Haila Yara. You should perfect your life. Better late than never. Prabhupada took a rasgulla and drank water. He told his disciples, "I used to come in the morning and from here we took that road to go to school." He was a very intelligent student. He used to score higher than me. Around 3 o'clock that afternoon, when Junior Ganguly came back from school, his father asked for some water. Then the senior Ganguly leaned back and said, "Bhaktivedanta Swami will take me," closed his eyes and passed away. Junior Ganguly said, "In the morning, when Prabhupada said to my father, 'You come, I will take you,' I thought Prabhupada was saying, 'You come to ISKCON and I will take you to America or something.' We understood what Prabhupada actually meant after my father passed on. Junior Ganguly said to me, 'When you called, I asked you to come because I wanted to share this with you. In fact, we are already life members.' After that, even though he was a busy man, he would regularly come to our Sunday programs."
Hari Bol. Amazing connection of Prabhupada with his friends and how whoever came in contact with Prabhupada, they had developed this confidence that Prabhupada can take us. So this is a special mercy of getting connected to a pure devotee. So it's amazing and interesting how Krishna is arranging all these incidents one after the another and how it is connected to the previous life of Srila Prabhupada. So, yeah. So any questions on this? Any comments? You have joined, right?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu, can you hear me?
Bol, Prabhu. Show your lotus face.
Are lotus face or distorted face? I cannot because my video doesn't work. Okay, but I have one question over here. This is like me playing devil's advocate.
Louder?
Can you hear me? Ekdam clear?
I mean, we can hear you, but I think voice is a bit low.
Voice is a bit low even now. Is it okay? Is it better?
It's better now.
It's better? Okay. Achha, one thing, Prabhuji, here by just reading this letter, how do we understand that Mr. Senior Ganguly, he actually went back home, back to Godhead? Or does it have a different implication that Prabhupada will take me? Is he saying that Prabhupada will take him so that he is going to become a devotee in his next life? Or is he saying that Prabhupada is going to take him back to Godhead?
What you're asking is, how do we know if he has gone back to Godhead?
Yeah, so that is basically my question, that when the junior Ganguly is saying that, I thought that Bhaktivedanta Swami is saying that he will take my father with him. So he thought that he's probably talking about his taking him to America or getting him to train the devotees. But then it turns out that he's kind of referring or alluding to the fact that he has taken him back with him. So I'm thinking, has Prabhupada taken him back to Godhead, or has he given him an opportunity to become a devotee in the next life so that he can eventually make further progress back, going back to Godhead? How do we understand it just by reading this letter? Madhav, it's like playing the devil's advocate. Thoda.
Okay, I think you'll have to ask Prabhupada what he did. But I guess, it will depend on Srila Prabhupada. And I think it's quite personal also. It is not something which is... it's not something which is like common for everyone, because it's going back to Godhead. It's a very personal and unique connection with the Lord. So, for example, even advanced devotees also sometimes probably they will not go back to Godhead, and conditioned devotees also they may go back to Godhead. So depending on the desire of the devotee, depending on the mercy of the pure devotees, accordingly, I think they will get the different destinations. Okay, so it is, for me, obviously, I cannot predict where he went. But one thing I know, that if Prabhupada took him to Krishna Loka, he went back to Godhead. And if Prabhupada wanted him to become completely a pure devotee, then maybe he has taken another birth. But definitely he has got a better chance in the next life. And probably he's connected to Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so...
Okay.
Yeah. So, it's, it's not a common answer.
I understand.
Right answer for this. So it's like depending on the situation, I think.
Okay. But we can understand that he's definitely within the fold of devotional service. Either he continues as a devotee in the material realm, or he may have gone back to Godhead. But definitely he's no longer going to be in the ordinary cycle of birth and death.
Yeah, of course. He will definitely get a chance to become a devotee. Or today only I posted one article. I don't know if you have read this. But we know that whenever a devotee is performing devotional service, so then the family members, they get a lot of benefit and they are liberated. That is mentioned in the Shastra. And, for example, in the pastime of Prahlad Maharaj and Narsimhadev, Sasima is asking Prahlad Maharaj some kind of benediction, and then Prahlad Maharaj is asking to save his father. And then Narsimha is telling Prahlad that your father is already delivered. He is liberated even before you asking me. And then it is mentioned in the Bhagavatam that Prahlad Maharaj says, Narsimhadev says that 20 generations are liberated. Okay. And so now in this particular pastime, when Srila Prabhupada is discussing the same with his disciple, so the disciple is asking Prabhupada that what is the meaning of liberation here? And Prabhupada says liberation means that he will become a devotee in the next life.
Yeah, I read that.
Okay, so I guess that whatever Prabhupada, whoever will get the mercy of Prabhupada, definitely they will become devotees in the next life. They will get ample opportunities to become devotees.
Oh.
Now, definitely there's free will. Krishna does not interfere in anyone's free will, but the influence of the pure devotee's desire is very great. So even Krishna has to submit to the desire of the pure devotee. And because pure devotees like Prabhupada, if they desire or wish that someone becomes a devotee, then they will become devotees. Mm-hmm. So whoever was in touch with Prabhupada, whoever got the special mercy of Prabhupada, they probably can go back to Godhead, or in the next life, they will definitely advance quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is the,
understanding.
I think, you know, depending on the situation, depending on the devotee's desire and the pure devotee's mercy,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's not black and white.
Mm. No, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, because I think here it's not clearly mentioned. You know, it's not clearly mentioned that, you know, like Prabhupada did not mention here that he took him back to Godhead or something like that.
Right,
it's just mentioned that Prabhupada will come and he will take you. That's it. So it is possible, definitely, he could have gone back to Godhead. But still, it's like something which I think no one can assure. Okay. So is it okay?
Yes, yes. Yes.
Mataji, are you there? See you. Vinita Mataji.
Yes, Prabhuji, I'm there, Prabhuji. Because I joined, I heard that. That's why I asked which book we are in. Then he, the junior Ganguly and senior Ganguly, then I got that. Yeah, it was the letter I read. Although I read that letter in the group topic.
Okay. Can you also share your video? We would like to see you.
Okay, Prabhuji. Yes.
Hari Bol.
Hari Krishna. Dandavat Pranam, Prabhuji.
Dandavat Pranam. Nice to see you after a long time.
Yes, Prabhuji, yes. We met in US, I think. Oh, no, not US. We met in...
Ah, Mataji, after that, twice we met in
Jagannath. Yeah, Jagannath Puri, yes, Prabhuji. Yes, yes, in so, 2017, I think so.
US visit was in 2018. And then 19, again, we had visited New York and Canada. And so last year only, I think we met. No, last year, I think we met in Jagannath Puri.
Yes, last year. Yes, it was 2018.
Yeah. So how is your family doing in US?
Prabhuji, my younger daughter is also. They are stuck there, Prabhuji. Younger daughter and son-in-law. They both are stuck there. They went for some project for 2 months, and they stuck there, Prabhuji.
Oh, acha. So she also went. She also visited.
Sorry, Prabhuji.
Your younger daughter also visited US.
Yeah, she is also there. They both are there. They have they booked their tickets for 18th of April, but so now it's still they are there only, Prabhuji.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Anyways, Mataji, nice to see you.
Thank you, same here, Prabhuji. Yes, Prabhuji. Okay, Prabhuji.
Okay. Can I ask Devika also to switch on the video? And there is one more devotee whose name is ADA612B. I don't know who is that devotee. ADA612D reply, respond.
This is one minute, Prabhuji.
Huh?
Can you see me?
Yes, Prabhuji, we can see you.
Yeah, Hari Bol.
Yeah, Hari Bol.
Yeah. Nice to see you. You are always, you are always a fever.
I just got a cold today. I think it started. It's rainy here, right? In your Nagar pe, so because of that, yeah.
Okay. I think you are in the state of bhava. You are always displaying symptoms of bhava.
No.
It's just trembling, perspiration.
No. Yeah, it's just that today again I ended up getting a cold. That's why I was also keen on putting on my video.
Okay. So nice to see you also.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah. Okay. And this is 48DD. Okay. That boat, I think, disappeared. I don't know whether there was a boat or whether there was a. I don't know what was that. Someone just came to see us. Okay, let's continue. Anju Mataji, would you like to continue?
Yes, Prabhuji. Kuladri, I was serving Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan when he was ill. One evening, I was sitting on Srila Prabhupada's bed inside his mosquito net and massaging him with Vicks Vaporub, which Prabhupada liked. When somehow or other, a mosquito got inside the net. Now, since the living entities in Vrindavan are not ordinary, we have to be very careful. We are not even supposed to step on an ant. I grabbed for the mosquito, but Prabhupada said no. I went back to massaging, and when the mosquito landed on Prabhupada, I flicked it away. Then Prabhupada said, "Now catch it. It is attacking."
Yeah, so devotees have the question about killing mosquitoes. And Prabhupada's response consistently was that if they are harming us, then we can kill them. Otherwise, we should not try to disturb them. And especially the mosquitoes in Dham. Prabhupada was very careful that we do not harm them. And in fact, we should respect them and treat them very respectfully. But I think in this particular instance also, we see that Prabhupada did mention if a mosquito is harming us, then we can kill the mosquito. So whether it is mosquito or any kind of living entity, if they are harming us, they are disturbing us, then we can attack them. But I think what Prabhupada wanted us that we should protect ourselves with mosquito nets, so that there is no chance of the mosquito entering and trying to harm us in any way. So now, obviously, depending on the devotee's circumstances, if they have mosquito net, then they can use it. If they do not have, then unnecessarily we should not harm. But definitely, you know, there are a lot of different types of living entities like cockroaches and different species of these insects. So, like lizards are also there. You know, we see them and then obviously we get scared. And there is a chance we anticipate that probably they will harm us in certain way. And we are fearful. So I think in such cases, it's better to move them somewhere else. But I think we should avoid killing them as much as possible, unless they are directly attacking us. Okay, so any comment or question on this?
Prabhuji, what about using pesticide, like something pesticide or something like that?
I'm not sure about that because maybe in the temple also they might be using pesticides, so that in order to just prevent all these small insects from coming inside.
Yes.
I think in order to keep the house clean, we may use that. And like, you know, for example, we have pest control treatments also quite frequently, maybe once in a year or probably twice in a year. So I think that is I mean, according to my understanding, that is a good thing because it keeps everything clean and it also prevents the insects and other living entities to come inside. Yeah, I think that's okay. Pesticide is okay. But I think killing them unnecessarily is not recommended.
Okay.
Yeah, but you know, when it comes to dham, dham is very special because the living entities are all special there. The living entities, actually, they are dham vasis. So whichever kind of living entity is residing in dham, they are all dham vasis. So they are very special. And that is why it's a bit, you know, complicated, not so easy. And when we have the option of preventing them, you know, that definitely we can do it. But killing them, definitely not recommended.
Yes, Prabhuji. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Okay, Prabhuji, I want to say something. Okay, yes, yeah. Prabhuji.
Yeah.
Prabhuji, I want to say regarding this only. Last year, when I was going to America, I cleaned my house completely. There was not even single cockroach or ant, nothing was there. But when I came back, my house was full of termite, Prabhuji. And I don't know, maybe more than lakhs of termite I killed, Prabhuji. So that pap karma will come, Prabhuji.
Actually, see, when termites or when worms or germs, you know, different types of worms, germs, termites, these are coming, they are actually causing harm to us. So they are like destroying our furniture, they are destroying some other things in the house. And we don't have any other option than to, you know, we have to actually pest control people and we have to conduct the treatment. There is no other option. So I think that that's okay. Because many times we made it precautions, in spite of that also, they will come. And they will cause some damage also. So whoever is causing damage, definitely we can.
I was so guilty, means that time that I'm killing so many termites, lakhs. I can tell lakhs. You're so tiny and so much spreaded. Almost my four doors were completely eaten by them.
Yeah, because we don't have option. We have to do it. There is no other option. But this feeling of guilt is also very good. But unnecessarily, we should not try to harm others unless they are harming. So, but obviously, what we can do, even if we are killing, we should try to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra as much as possible. Or we can do Kirtan also. So that at least if we have to kill them, then at least they are hearing the holy name. And we have to pray that they get a human body, human form, where they can get their hearts and to become devotees. So by that, we can also give them some opportunity. And obviously, killing on special days like Janmashtami, Radhashtami, or Ekadashi, appearance or disappearance of some Vaishnavas, these are all special days. Obviously, we are not promoting killing of all these living entities. What we are saying is that if we have to kill them, then we can make an environment favorable for them as much as possible by chanting the holy name, which is the most important. Or any other, like, you know, any other hearing a class lecture by a devotee, if you are hearing Kirtan, if you are doing Kirtan, that will definitely help the entity to their human form in the next life. Because technically, they don't have karma. They don't have karma, and they are supposed to keep moving from one body to another body, unless we can say, finish off the animal body, or the body of an insect, or you know, whatever. And finally, they will come to a human form of life. But by killing them, in a favorable way in the Krishna conscious atmosphere, we are promoting them directly in the real form of life. Obviously, the purpose should not be, it should not be done purposely. But whenever we don't have any option and we have to kill them, then at least make sure that we have some means of holy name vibration or something. That will help them.
Yeah, but that time scenes were so scary that I don't remember that I chanted or not. I don't remember that also. The scenes were so scary and I never saw single termite till now. First time I saw, and that was so many and so huge.
Okay, Mataji, then you will come as termite in the next life.
Hey Bhagwan, hey Bhagwan, hey Krishna. You don't Prabhuji, if I will be termite, I will be in your home only.
Huh?
If I will be termite, I will be at your home only.
But Mataji, I will go back to Goa. So, there will be no one here.
ठीक है, किसी और डिवोटी के घर में हो जाएंगे प्रभु जी. ठीक है, जैसा कृष्णा का विल.
नहीं नहीं मदर जी, डोंट वरी, मेरे को, मैं इसी यहाँ पे आने वाला हूँ लाइफ टाइम आफ्टर लाइफ टाइम, सो डोंट टेक एनी टेंशन फॉर दैट.
नहीं प्रभु जी, आप जाइएगा, हमारे लिए कृष्णा को रिकमेंडेशन लगाइएगा, अर्जी हमारी लगाइएगा, पर्ची, सो दैट वी कैन कम प्रभु जी.
माता जी, अभी आप लोग ऐसा सोच रहे हो, बट एनीवेज, कमिंग टू द पॉइंट, make sure, at least make sure, when next time, make sure that you chant the holy name, or you know, at least kuch kirtan nitan laga dena, ya fir like this,
yes,
kar sakte ho. Yeah, it's very important, and also very important, but it should not be a repeated process that we take things for granted and we still continue. What we have to do is, we have to provide some very favorable environment.
Yes, okay, thank you brother.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so iske baare mein question hai.
Prabhuji, your voice is breaking in between, Prabhuji. It's shaking, Prabhuji, your voice is.
Achha, it's breaking. Yeah, I mean, because of internet connection, probably. Okay. Anju Madari, can you continue? Hare Krishna, Anju Mataji.
Yeah, sorry, yeah. Atma Tattva. I had a Krishna book and on the back cover was a picture of Prabhupada looking at a champak flower he was holding. I showed the man this picture and said, "This is our Guru Maharaj. He has translated these books." The man looked at this, at that picture, and then brought some thread and things from a little box, and for 10 or 15 minutes measured Prabhupada's forehead, ears and so on. Then he said, "This man's features show me that all the four Vaishnav Acharyas are present in him. I wish you had a picture of his full form." So I showed him a photograph of Prabhupada's full form, and he did another study, this time with a lens. Then he said, "I was not wrong. They are all working through this person. You are very fortunate to be with him. I would like to be part of a movement like that in my next life." I said, "But I thought your ultimate goal is to go to Kailash because he was a Shaivite." He said, "Yes, if I go there, I can tell Lord Shiva that I want to join some movement like this and I want to spread Dharma everywhere." He was very happy and said, "Please give this book to me. It has given me the highest experience of studying a person's features. I want to keep this book." So I gave him a complimentary copy. Hari Bol. Should I continue?
Well, this past time I have already shared in our seminar in Radha Gobinda Temple.
Yes.
On the glories of Srila Prabhupada books.
Yes.
Importance of reading Prabhupada books. So I think probably Nirvika and Rajiv Prabhu, they will be able to recollect this past time.
Probably once discussed with us also.
Do you remember? In our house program, I had taken a special class on Srila Prabhupada, right? Leaders.
Yes, yes.
So, Rajiv, do you remember?
Yes, Prabhuji, this past time we remember hearing from you.
Okay. Nirvika?
Yeah, I remember at your home I had heard this. And even in the in that class also, I think you had mentioned this.
Yeah. So this is something amazing, unique about our Srila Prabhupada, that someone is actually experiencing and feeling that all these four acharyas, Vaishnava acharyas, they are present in Prabhupada. And that's true because Prabhupada presented all these four philosophies, because he presented Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva. And Achintya Bhedabhed Tattva is actually the culmination or the all these four philosophies. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself says that, you know, he's taken Siddhant from all these four, two Siddhants from each of these four sampradayas. That way, all of these acharyas are working through Prabhupada, because he's the only one who is spreading the message of Krishna or Vishnu. So that way, unique acharya. Okay. Any short comment?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, can you hear me? Your voice is breaking and the video is also very
others are able to hear me?
Prabhu, your bandwidth is very low, Prabhu. Maybe you can switch off your video.
Can switch over to just audio.
Only audio would be better for you.
I can see the message, but it's network.
Yeah, actually, I was going to change the internet connection, but I had ordered a modem, new modem for it, but it did not arrive. So this weekend, I think, you know, again, the same problem. Hopefully, if I receive that next week, by Monday or Tuesday, then I will have new internet connection.
But Prabhuji, if you switch off your video, maybe the audio will become better. You can just try that and see.
See, definitely I will switch off the video if this problem continues. But the whole purpose of coming on Zoom is lost. If I
hear you, Prabhuji. Why is he getting garbled?
Prabhuji can't hear you.
Okay, let me switch off.
Now try speaking, Prabhuji.
Okay, now are you able to hear?
Still it is better, but still it is getting garbled.
Yeah, I mean, this is Wi-Fi connection, but still having a problem. Is it clear now?
Yes, it's better, Prabhuji.
Okay.
Prabhuji, so, one question, Prabhuji, regarding last letter. Four acharya means four sampradayas?
Yeah, four acharya Vaishnava sampradayas. Four Vaishnava sampradayas.
Okay.
Okay. Angel Madhuri, are you there or not? Angel Madhuri?
Yes, Prabhuji, I'm here.
Okay, so can we see? Can we see you? Cool.
Yes, Prabhuji,
Hari Krishna. Madhuri, you have got a chashma in lockdown.
Reading ke liye khali Prabhu.
Acha, reading ke hai kya? Okay, okay. Kyunki maine dekha nahi hai kabhi aapka chashma.
Bahut reading ho rahi
hai. Ya, Madhuri, dekho, maine aapko itna studious bana diya ki aap abhi itna padhne lage ho.
True. Very true.
Nice to see you, Madhuri.
Same here,
Prabhu. Okay. So, okay, next, Anjumataji, you can continue next.
Okay. Chitralekha. One day in Los Angeles, Upendra, who was my husband and Prabhupada's servant, was in Prabhupada's room when Prabhupada handed him a $20 bill and said, "This is for your children." Immediately, Upendra said, "Prabhupada, we can't take this from you. You are our spiritual master. We should be giving to you." Prabhupada said, "No, this is for your children. I'm not their spiritual master. They will have to take their own." Upendra brought the $20 bill home and he knew that Prabhupada was telling us he wasn't going to be on the planet to initiate our children. They were going to have to seek out their own spiritual master. It wasn't an automatic given that all our children would be Prabhupada's disciple.
Yeah, so this is a clear refutation of the current Ritvik philosophy. We can clearly see that how Prabhupada said that someone else is going to be the spiritual master of your son. Okay, yes. So Prabhupada himself wanted that we become gurus and we make disciples. So there's no question of taking directly Diksha from Srila Prabhupada. Okay, any comments on this?
No problem.
Okay, next.
Atma Tattva. Once I showed a movie of Prabhupada lecturing to Dhananjay and his wife, who were dance experts in Madras. Dhananjay looked at that footage three times and then in terms of Bharatanatyam, he explained Prabhupada's movement to his students. In his lecture, Prabhupada spoke intensely about the power of devotion and how if somebody is chanting the holy name, it means that in his previous lives, he has performed all sacrifices and austerities. While he spoke, Prabhupada's moods changed every 2 minutes. He was sometimes jubilant and sometimes frustrated that people were not taking out to Krishna consciousness. It was like a dance, except that Prabhupada was making mudras instead of moving his limbs. Dhananjay pointed out these mudras to his students and quoted from Niti Shastra of Bharat. These are the different ecstasies that we learn in theory. In 28 minutes, this gentleman went through all that. Later, in the Nectar of Devotion, I found 3 or 4 subheadings describing ecstatic symptoms that Prabhupada manifested while he explained the philosophy of chanting the holy name. He was not talking about Ras Leela or any intimate pastimes, but simply about how one should chant the holy name and what happens when one does. It appeared like preliminary teachings, but Prabhupada manifested ecstasy while he explained it. When Dhananjay finished his explanation, I said there is a famous verse in Brahma Samhita stating that in spiritual world, every word is a song and every movement is a dance. Dhananjay took this so seriously that he began having that Brahma Samhita verse sung before his performances. This is how people were inspired from an Arya Samaji to a business magnate to a dancer. We know Prabhupada inspired the devotees in our movement, but this is how he has inspired others as well.
Yeah, I think this pastime also I shared in my Srila Prabhupada Leela class in our house. Yes. Yeah, so we can see here that how Prabhupada was coming from the spiritual world and he was exhibiting all these symptoms, although we are not able to recognize. Even while speaking on a very simple, from a very simple platform, you cannot make out the symptoms of a person just by looking at them, their actions. But someone who is actually well known with all these symptoms, they can actually understand. So Prabhupada exhibited all these different moods, emotions, which were coming from the internal potency of the Lord. So all these were ecstasies of Prabhupada. So see, this is also one of the reasons why we say that, or Prabhupada said that the purports are my personal ecstasies. So there is no difference between the Vani and the Vapu of Prabhupada, especially when Prabhupada is speaking of certain things. So here, Dhananjay Prabhu also is recognizing Prabhupada's ecstatic symptoms by the way he is actually conveying his emotions. Okay. And those same emotions Prabhupada can also convey in his books, because we can, you know, we can definitely relate with the mood of Prabhupada and the emotions that he is conveying. So one can clearly understand how Prabhupada was at a very advanced level of devotion. And this is how, you know, he connected with everyone. Depending on time, place, circumstance, Prabhupada connected with each and every person. So now see, here Dhananjay Prabhu could actually understand Prabhupada's ecstatic symptoms. So he actually connected with Dhananjay Prabhu in that way. For others, Prabhupada connected in different ways, depending on their state of consciousness and realization. Okay, any comments? Okay, so Sanjeev Prabhu, would you like to continue reading, or should I ask someone else to read?
Prabhuji, you may ask someone else to read.
Okay. Ujwala Madhuri.
Prabhu, 5 minutes, Prabhu. Sorry. Hare Krishna. Prabhuji, 5 minutes, Prabhu. After 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. Madhuri, would you like...
Prabhuji, I don't know from where to read, Prabhuji.
So 17th May.
No, Prabhuji, if I go to, it will take me time, Prabhuji. I mean, I have to go to in our WhatsApp group, no, Prabhuji.
Yeah, but you just have to go to 17th May, the first article of 17th May.
Let me check, Prabhuji.
Okay, so you can check. Meantime, Swati Mataji, would you like to continue?
Prabhuji, can you hear me?
Huh?
Can you hear me, Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Prabhuji, I have some problem in the earphone. Won't be able to read today.
Okay. Aritra, are you there? You can read. Are you there?
Yes, can you hear me? I can hear you. Can everyone hear me?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay. I'll go ahead then. Bhutatma. Once we had just started selling big books, Buddhimanta, Yogesh Chandra, Keshava and I were on a traveling Sankirtan party, and we were getting criticized because we weren't at the temple eating temple prasadam and so forth. We were on the front lines and we would offer and eat our sour creams and dates, that kind of food. So we went to Prabhupada in his room in LA and said, I think we are doing the right thing, but some people say no. We need to be eating temple prasadam. Otherwise, it's not good for our spiritual life. Prabhupada looked at us, leaned forward and forcefully said, just go out and sell my books. You can eat anything. We were totally vindicated. We do not understand what he wants. He wants us out there selling his books. Prabhupada's words smashed the critics once and for all.
Yeah, another important point here, that for preaching purpose, one may eat whatever is available that time. So definitely, you know, devotees are not talking about eating meat or eating with onion garlic. They are just asking about eating outside when they are distributing books. And another point is that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he mentioned to the extreme that if devotees they have to go to the desert when nothing is available, then they can also eat meat, you know, for preaching. So when it comes to service, when it comes to a conflict between eating and serving, or observing fasting and serving, and service especially means preaching here. So that time, both Bhakti Siddhanta Sri Thakur and Prabhupada, they gave emphasis on preaching. So eating prasadam should not become a means for us to not go to, not go outside and not to distribute books. It should not become the reason for that. So here it is clear that when there is a conflict between these two things, then we have to always prefer preaching. Okay. So this is the principle. This is a higher principle that for preaching purpose, we can also compromise and sacrifice certain lower principles. So any questions or comment?
Prabhuji, can I read next, Prabhuji?
Okay.
Okay, Prabhuji, I am reading, Prabhuji. Atma Tattva. One Ekadashi, during the Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, Prabhupada was sitting back with his eyes closed, his legs stretched under his desk, talking about Ekadashi. Prabhupada said, lotus pots fried in ghee are very good on Ekadashi. Somebody immediately ran to the market to arrange for the lotus pots. But just 2 minutes later, a Ramanandi Brahman and his 9-year-old son arrived, both of them wearing Ramanandi Tilak. They paid their obeisance and the father put a cloth back from his shoulder on Prabhupada's desk. Prabhupada put his hand it in and said, just see, it has come. It was lotus pots fried in ghee. He looked at the Ramanandi and said, how are you? This man happened to be the priest of a Bengali family in Firozabad, UP, where Prabhupada used to stay. Even though this person was a Ramanandi, he did the Gaur Nithai deity worship for this family. Prabhupada ate some of the pots, distributed the rest and said to the Ramanandi, you have not taken bath in the confluence, the Sangam. The Ramanandi said, Swamiji, I have come to take bath in the Sangam, and he put a plate under Prabhupada's feet. Prabhupada adjusted his feet on the plate and this man bathed Prabhupada's feet in Sangam water from his pot while he chanted mantras. Prabhupada looked at him, smiling during that time, December 1976. It was rare to get Prabhupada's Charnamrit and all of us desired it. This Ramanandi sprinkled that water on his head, drank some and then sprinkled some on all of us. He said to Prabhupada, your feet are the actual Sangam. What will we get in bathing that Sangam? Your feet will purify the Ganges, and since you are not going to the Ganges, I brought the Ganga here. I will mix some of this Charnamrit in the Ganga. Prabhupada smiled and said, give me your son. I will make him an Acharya. The man said, he is your son, Swami. You can take him anytime. Prabhupada said, no. Anytime means no time. You give him me now. I will make him an Acharya. The Ramanandi said, Swamiji, now he's learning Sanskrit grammar. To study the bhashas, the commentaries, he must know some more grammar. Once his Vyakran is over, then I will hand him over to you. He's yours. Prabhupada insisted for the fourth time, no, no, what grammar? We don't need grammar. Give him to me. I will make him an Acharya. This man said, Swamiji, I'm not saying no. Everything mine is yours, but he's too small. He will only be trouble for you. In a few years, I will hand him over to you. Prabhupada said, okay, TK, TK. And he rubbed the boy's head. After that, there were other visitors to see Prabhupada. And this man and his son left. Years passed and the Ramanand Sampradaya broke into many inimical sects. Then 1 year, I was taking the 10 Gurukula boys to the Allahabad Kumbh Mela, and I was surprised to learn that the Ramananda has elected one youngest sannyasi to lead their whole sampradaya, and they had a huge Ramanand stall at the festival. I told the Gurukula boys, who will have this leader's darshan? That one sadhu united a whole sampradaya is unheard of, and you boys should meet the person who has the potency. God knows tomorrow you may become a guru. So we went to see him. We were given priority because some of the boys were from South America, Australia, and so on. There were about 100 people with this young sannyasi. Man with long bears, mad locks of hair, all 3 times older than him, and leaders in their own right. This young sannyasi was sitting on a big seat, and people were fanning him with a chamar. He paid,
We paid obeisance and a Gurukul boy from South America loudly chanted the Sanyasi Sukta, which is traditional way to greet a Sanyasi. As he started chanting, everyone became silent. And after he had finished, this young Maharaj composed a Sanskrit poem about Prabhupada. He recited, "If I say that neither is the past nor is the nor in the future, will there be an Acharya equal to the Acharya of the Hare Krishna movement? I won't be committing an offense to the founder of my line, Ramananda, because in his commentary, Ramananda himself predicted that Vishnu worship would spread all around the world and that the whole world would take to it. As he was talking, I realized that this was the same person who as a small boy had his head rubbed by Srila Prabhupada. He finished 4 slokas glorifying Prabhupada and ended with the glorification of Lord Jagannath. Then he honored each boy separately. And when I went up to him, he said, Atma Tattva Prabhav, do you remember me? You used to carry me on your back. When I traveled on Padyatra, we said, we had stayed at your father's house. At that time, I was a brahmachari and I used to carry this boy on my neck back. He used to call Loknath Maharaj an old man because he had white hair. He said, Prabhupada spoke about me becoming an Acharya. My father never brought me to the Hare Krishna movement. But before he passed away, he told me that I had to study the Shankara Bhashya so that I could defeat it. That was his last wish. So for 4 years, I stayed with the Mayavadis in Benares and studied the commentary of Shankara. It was painful. Our whole Sampradaya had split up our misunderstandings and I thought that since I had Prabhupada's blessing, maybe I could unite us. I tried for 9 years and this year it has happened. By the blessings of your Guru Maharaj, we are united. Ramananda said that as long as we were broken, we would never be able to fulfill his prediction. But Ramananda also said, we don't have to fulfill the prediction because it has already been fulfilled by these people. We simply have to join and preach with them. Their movement is spreading around the world. Using us as a catalyst, this young sannyasi preached to everyone assembled there in that way. It was great to hear from him. Wow.
Amazing. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Yeah, amazing glorification of Prabhupada. So we can see who is Prabhupada. Very unique Acharya. Everything about Prabhupada is extraordinary. So any devotees, they have any comments on this pastime?
Prabhuji, this Ramanandi Sampraday, they come under which of the 4?
Yeah, they are a branch of Ramanuja Sampraday.
Okay. Okay,
any other comment? Okay, so Aritra, you can continue.
Okay. Umapati Swami, Prabhupada talked so much about impersonalists and Buddhists and Hayagriva, and I began to think the Swami is not liberal enough, and for a short time we stopped attending his lectures. We were sitting around Mott Street talking about this when Kirtananda came in and said, I have decided to leave the Swami. I don't like what's going on. I said, we've been talking about that too. Kirtananda said, you fools, do you think I could leave the Swami? He had tricked us. And he insisted that we talk with Prabhupada. When we saw him, Prabhupada said, if you have some doubts, we can discuss them. I said, we don't like what you're saying about the Buddhists and Sri Ramakrishna. Prabhupada said, okay, I will explain. I have never criticized Lord Buddha. In fact, I have always called him Lord Buddha. But his followers eat meat. They don't believe in God and they don't believe in the soul. They are atheists. The Buddhist scriptures do not talk about God or the soul. As for Ramakrishna, I have always said and I will always say that he was nothing but a crazy priest. Now, Ramakrishna said that you could worship Kali or worship Krishna and it's the same. But Krishna says, if you worship the demigods, you go to the demigods. And if you worship me, you come to me. Ramakrishna has contradicted Krishna. It's as if he's saying that by buying a plane ticket to Chicago, you will get to Los Angeles. I said, what about all the wonderful things in his books? Prabhupada said, his disciples took them from the Vedas, put them in his books, and said that he said them. Besides that, Ramakrishna's followers eat meat. They go to the doctor and get a letter saying they'll die if they don't eat meat. All the sadhus in India know this. Prabhupada told me about a gathering of holy people in India where some sadhus saw a dead fish floating on the water. They laughed and said, quick, call the Ramakrishna mission. Prabhupada also said that when Vivekananda, Ramakrishna's principal disciple, met Ramakrishna, Ramakrishna touched him on the forehead and Vivekananda felt electric shocks. Prabhupada laughed and said, you have read about the universal form. Where does it say anything about electric shocks? After that, Vivekananda fainted. And when he woke up, Ramakrishna was crying. Vivekananda said, why are you crying? Ramakrishna said, I have given you all my power. I have none left. Prabhupada said, is spiritual knowledge like money? That if I give you, I have none left? That was the clincher.
Yeah. Some of the disciples of Prabhupada in the beginning, they used to think like this, that Prabhupada was not liberal enough or he was not accommodative because he was chastising a lot of these Mayavadis, impersonalist Buddhist philosophers. But we can understand that Prabhupada was doing this on behalf of Krishna. And I think many devotees also, they had the same concept about Prabhupada when they started reading his books. Because we have a conception from the beginning that a pure devotee is free from all these defects and he is without any ego. So how can someone display anger or chastise someone? So this was a misconception that I think most of the devotees also had. But whenever Prabhupada was asked about this, he always used to say that, I am not chastising, I am not correcting, it is Krishna who is doing that. So I am just a representative of Krishna. So on behalf of Krishna, he was actually chastising all these Mayavadi tendencies and mentality. So that, now in certain cases, we don't have to be liberal. We have to be really strict. Like even for in the case of demigod worship, also Prabhupada was extremely strict. Prabhupada didn't want to encourage in a very small way also the worship of demigods. And I think that is quite obvious because especially in India, many people are already accustomed to worshipping demigods, different types of demigods. So Prabhupada clearly wanted to oppose this idea of demigod worship and established that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he understood that Indians have a mentality of worshipping different demigods. And unless they are thoroughly convinced that Krishna is that Supreme, they will have misdirected faith towards Krishna or any other demigod also. And that's a reality. So even though people worship Krishna or their primary object of worship is Krishna, but what they are doing is they are observing Ganesh Chaturthi, or they are having fast on Tuesdays. They are observing Shivratri and observing fasting on Mondays. And so on and so forth. Like, we have days for Durga, Ganesh, Shiva, Hanuman, different types of personalities. We have all the days. There are some days assigned to these personalities. And people have a strong tendency in India to worship all these demigods and to also follow the rituals of these particular demigods. So in order to very thoroughly establish and to remove this tendency, Prabhupada actually was heavy. And so he was heavy for worshipping demigods. He was heavy for destroying the Mahavat principles. And he was also heavy for the scientists, if they were atheists. So there is no scope of giving a leeway to any of these philosophies if one wants to surrender and advance his Krishna consciousness. It can become an obstacle to the path of worship of Krishna. Like, just imagine, if we were also simultaneously worshipping demigods, then our faith would have been misdirected. It would have been divided. And if we were also believer of science, you know, then obviously we would have questioned certain principles from the Srimad Bhagavatam or from the scriptures. And it would have taken us a lot of time to come to the conviction that everything connected to spiritual life is transcendental. And then if we have a tinge of Mayavad philosophy, then we are basically giving up, we are indicating that we want to become God, which is completely opposed to the idea of being a servant of God. So it was necessary for Prabhupada that he must refute all these very strongly, very heavily. Then only people can thoroughly understand. And I think it's a matter of time that people realize that what Prabhupada meant was the right thing. You know, he had to take a strong position, a strong stand in order to defeat all these different types of philosophies. So Prabhupada was representing Krishna. At the same time, he was compassionate to everyone. You know, just like in the Chaitanya Bhagavat also, Vrindavan Das Thakur says that whoever does not worship Nityananda or who has even a tinge of envy for Nityananda or even a tinge of indifference for Nityananda Prabhu, then I kick that person on, you know, on his head and I severely chastise that person. So by saying this, the acharyas, they say that actually this is a special mercy of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So if Vrindavan Das Thakur will kick on their head, then they will become devotees. They will get special mercy of Vrindavan Das Thakur. So ultimately, in the chastisement of a pure devotee, there is also mercy. And we see similar things in the Lord's nature also. That when the Lord is chastising someone, then he is actually bestowing mercy on that person. So this is the nature of Lord, that his mercy or his chastisement, favoring someone or is opposing someone is the same because he is absolute truth. So all contradictions are resolved in the Supreme Lord. So if the Lord is chastising someone or if he is favoring someone, in both cases, the mercy is distributed. Okay. So here also it's the same thing. Prabhupada is also distributing his mercy. And the similar concept applies to chastisement of disciples also. Prabhupada said many times that if you get chastisement from the guru, then you are very fortunate because the guru is actually really concerned about your spiritual advancement and welfare. And if the guru is not chastising, that means he is fooling you or he is neglecting you because he is not bothered about your spiritual advancement. So he will not chastise you. So Prabhupada always used to say that we have to take chastisement from the guru always in a positive way. That then only we can actually advance in spiritual life. Okay, so and I think to take chastisement becomes easier when we actually start understanding the intention of our guru or any advanced devotee and we have faith in them. Okay, and we know that they are actually they love us, they care for us. That's why they are actually chastising us, right? So, you know, just like, you know, in a family, our parents will chastise us or our brothers and sisters, they will chastise us. But we know that, you know, they are doing it because they love us and they care for us. So this is called intimacy. When you have intimacy, then obviously you'll have some chastisement also. So Prabhupada was so magnanimous and so compassionate that by chastising all these atheistic class of people, by chastising of Mayavadi people, he was actually giving his compassion to everyone. But whether they took it or not, that's up to them. But Prabhupada had compassion for each and every person, whether he was atheist or whether he was in between agnostic or Mayavadi or Buddhist, whoever he was, Prabhupada had compassion for each and every person. Okay, so any comments or questions on this? Okay, next.
Deen Dayadri, during an ecstatic kirtan in the Los Angeles temple.
Can you speak louder, Prabhu?
During an ecstatic kirtan in the Los Angeles temple, Srila Prabhupada was laughing. Afterwards, the devotee asked why he had been laughing, and Prabhupada said, "I was laughing to see Narada Muni. The devotee said, Narada Muni? Yes, Narada Muni was there. What was Narada Muni doing? Prabhupada said he was laughing. The devotee said, why was he laughing? He was laughing when he saw the mlechas and jandalas dancing and chanting Hare Krishna.
Yeah, again, you know, Prabhupada was, while giving Bhagavatam class, while doing Kirtan, Prabhupada actually saw Narada Muni and the demigods, they all assembled and they saw Prabhupada doing Kirtan, giving class. And so this is actually a pure devotee's vision. And the demigods also, and they always want to take Krishna of the pure devotee. So this is the position of Srila Prabhupada. On numerous occasions, he saw Narada Muni like that. Okay, so now Ujjwala Mataji, would you like to continue?
Yes, Prabhu. Am I audible?
Yeah.
Okay, it's on 19th May. Letter to Dr. Singhal, Mr. Saraf, Dr. Poddar and Vasishta Giriraj.
Can you speak louder, Madhuri?
Yes, Prabhu. Auckland, 21st February 1973. My dear Dr. Singhal, Mr. Saraf, Mr. Poddar, Mr. Vasishta and Sriman Giriraja, please accept my blessings. This morning, Srukirti received telephonic message from Balimardhan. It is understood that Mr. Nair is dead. So it is good news that Narasimhadeva has killed a demon like him. Prahlad Maharaja said that even a saintly person becomes pleased when a scorpion or a snake is killed. So if it is a fact that Nair is dead, it is a matter of great pleasure for all devotees. When I left Bombay, I formed a committee of you all to negotiate with Mr. Nair, but I did not hear anything from you since I left. What is the position now? If possible, settle with Mrs. Nair, paying her cash down or rupees 1,400,000. Out of rupees 1,400,000, suppose we have rupees 500,000, and the balance rupees 900,000 can be advanced by any mortgager. If it is possible, try to do it. Otherwise, unless Mrs. Nair pays back all our invested money in the Juhu land, do not vacate the land under any circumstances. If you stick to your principles, certainly Krishna will help and the indications are already there. I hope this will find you in good health. Your ever well wisher, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami.
Yeah, so this is interesting because we see that just minute before, you know, we're talking about compassion of Srila Prabhupada. Here actually it seems that Prabhupada is actually pleased when Mr. Nair is getting killed. So how do you understand this? I mean, so see, Prabhupada, Leela of pure devotees, they are very transcendental, and they conduct pastimes in a, you know, like in different forms, in different varieties. It is not that every compassion means that everyone should be given mercy, direct mercy, or, you know, in a favorable way. Compassion can also come in a non-favorable way. You know, just like I was explaining that Krishna is also killing the demons. But the compassion factor is always there. Externally, we may think that Krishna is killing someone, but internally, that compassion is always there for that person. So whenever Krishna kills someone, they attain liberation. Whenever a pure devotee kills someone, they also attain liberation. Or, so what is the meaning of liberation here? As Prabhupada also said, that liberation means that they get chance to become devotees of the Lord. So this is a special mercy of a pure devotee or of the Lord, that when they kill someone or when they take pleasure in someone's dying, then it means that they are also receiving that compassion from that pure devotee. So here, in a particular, so now see, this particular pastime is also necessary to actually, I mean, see, each and every pastime in Prabhupada Leela or Gaur Leela, you will see that they are conducted in different ways, or many times it is contradictory. or contrary. Okay. Like in this pastime, Prabhupada is happy that he passed away. And in some other pastime, Prabhupada, even if Prabhupada is tortured by someone, Prabhupada will forgive them. And he will not take it so intimately or personally. But here we see that Prabhupada took this on a personal level. And he felt very happy when Nair passed away. So now, similar things are also in Gaur Leela, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sometimes giving mercy to the offenders and sometimes is not giving mercy to offenders. So, all these pastimes are necessary and they are required because they teach us certain lessons. Here, one lesson we can see is that generally, you know, Prabhupada is teaching the devotees here that even a devotee is happy when a snake or envious person like the snake die. Okay. So this is the lesson that Prabhupada is teaching us here. That a devotee should be happy because if one envious creature is left out, then that creature will actually destroy the entire world. So instead of sacrificing the lives of so many people, or in order to protect the lives of so many people, if one envious person is killed, then there is no harm in it. Okay, so this is the principle that Prabhupada is teaching here. And Prabhupada is also teaching here that what are the consequences of offending a pure devotee? Okay. So here, Mr. Nair gave a lot of trouble to Prabhupada, lot of anxiety to Prabhupada right from the beginning. And it was a long-term fighting with Mr. Nair. So finally, when he was killed, you know, all these pastimes are there so that we can understand different teachings from all these pastimes. That's why all these pastimes have a variety. It's not the same. And as we know that spiritual world is full of variety. So just imagine that there was only one pastime and the teaching was also only one. Then it would not have been such an interesting thing. But if there is a variety in pastime, then there are multiple lessons to be learned from the pastime. Okay. And that creates a lot of interest and a lot of enthusiasm for knowing the pastime or hearing the pastime or getting into the pastime. So this variety is very important. This eternally goes on the spiritual world also. And this is what exactly, you know, when pure devotee will also come in the material platform, in the material world, they will also enact these kind of pastimes. So it will teach multiple lessons. Okay, so is this clear? Any questions on this? Yeah, so even though there is a variety in the pastimes and accordingly, there is a reaction to different people according to the way they approach. But the underlying principle of compassion is same for everyone. Okay, so in that sense, yeah, there is variety, but there is also oneness. It's like achintya bheda bhed, like bheda bhed, like that, simultaneously one and different. So any comments on this? Okay, you can continue, Mataji.
Satyanarayan, I started coming to the temple in 1969, and after 2 years of attending the devotees' lectures and of seeing pictures and hearing tapes of Prabhupada, I had high expectations when I was about to meet him at the Detroit airport. I thought, I will be seeing an amazing human being. But it was far beyond that. What I saw was miraculous. There was an uproarious kirtan going when Prabhupada came up the escalator. One would normally expect Prabhupada to walk off the escalator, but he did not. He kept coming upwards, floating above the escalator and over to his Vyasasana. While this was happening, a brilliant sun-like effulgence came from him. Prabhupada gently floated down and settled into the seat. And the next time I raised my head was 20 minutes later. I was crying with my head on the ground for 20 minutes. When I looked up, everyone else was also down. Lakshmi Moni was looking at Prabhupada with tears coming from her eyes. I thought that seeing Prabhupada floating in this way was just my experience. But recently, both Indrajumna Maharaj and Sureshwara told me that they saw the same thing. Recently, it's been emphasized that the instructions of the spiritual master, his Vani, are most important. But I think that Vapu, being in his personal presence, is equally important because Vapu gives you faith in Vani. That's why these remembrances are important. Those who did not have the fortune of being in Prabhupada's personal presence can hear about it. Then they can understand that he was not just a human being, not even just a pure devotee. In the history of Vaishnava culture, Prabhupada's contribution is unique.
Hari Bol. Yeah, something extraordinary that Satyanarayana Prabhu witnessed, that Prabhupada actually floated, you know. And so this is something, you know, definitely miraculous. There is no doubt about it. Prabhupada had many times displayed mystic potencies whenever he required. But definitely one thing is there. Although Prabhupada had all these mystic potencies, being a pure devotee, he was always very humble. And he never used these mystic potencies to make a show. But he always engaged them in the service of Krishna. So all these display of mystic potencies by Prabhupada, you know, they are also important to understand what great a personality Prabhupada was. And he is not someone who is in of this world. He is definitely someone who is beyond this world. Okay, so he had definitely demonstrated some of the mystic potencies to make us realize that he's not like us. So that we can get that kind of faith and we can also respect him more. Yeah, okay. Any comments? Okay, next, Madhuri.
Okay. When I walked in, Srila Prabhupada was comfortably sitting behind his desk with one knee up and one arm resting on that knee and gesturing to the devotees present. But I could not see any devotees there. He was talking to someone, perhaps Narad Muni, to his Guru Maharaj, but there was a clear discussion going on, which I interrupted. Prabhupada looked at me and we had our talk about Ayurveda. Again, Prabhupada interrupted by saying, "This is not necessary. Whatever medicine works, use it. Western medicine is very advanced." I got the permission that it really did not matter if I got involved with Ayurveda or not. Prabhupada wasn't impressed with Ayurveda. He lifted a Krishna book and said, "Work with my books and be a spiritual physician, a spiritual doctor." This was a relief. I had felt that I had to make use of my education, but Prabhupada said that I did not have to. Soon after that, I joined the library party, where I went all over India and by Srila Prabhupada's grace to 14 other countries. We went to hundreds and hundreds of universities and placed sets of Srila Prabhupada's books in libraries. I had distributed single books before, but when we distributed a whole set, it was like installing a deity in the university. Prabhupada's books will be in those universities for hundreds of years. The feeling from doing that service was very wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, so again, we have discussed this in our last class about, you know, some devotees, they emphasize on certain healthy things to eat. And maybe they might come up with something which is not made up in the temples or which is not offered in the temples. So definitely, you know, devotees, they have their personal preferences for diet and all. But Prabhupada was very, you know, he was quite thorough that the ultimate medicine is actually prasadam. And whatever Krishna likes, we have offered to him. And that will actually take care of other things. So, you know, I had also posted one article, I think yesterday or day before yesterday, that how Charanamrit also, just by taking Charanamrit, the disease, most of the diseases are cured. Now, it may happen with devotees. Devotees may experience this or probably they may not experience that. That's a different thing. But it's a fact that Charanamrit will definitely cure the disease sooner or later. Why? Because Charanamrit is extremely potent. Because it is the Abhishek of the Lord. So, in the Shastra, it is mentioned that three things are extremely potent. If you take the remnants of pure devotees, if you take Charanamrit, and if you take the dust of the feet of the pure devotees. So, these three things, if you regularly take, then it will give a lot of potency, a lot of spiritual potency. And another thing is that because whatever devotional activity we are doing, everything destroys karma, as we have discussed earlier, that each and every limb of bhakti can destroy unlimited karma. So from that sense also, we can actually understand that how whatever is offered to the Lord and whatever the Lord likes, if you offer that to the Lord, then definitely when we take the remnants of that prasad, it will destroy unlimited karma. Okay. So this is actually the principle, because we suffer, our health is suffering not because the immediate reason. You know, like we may identify certain things. Obviously, it's our responsibility to take precautions because we know that if we do certain things, then we'll get the reaction for that, or our health will suffer. So definitely we can avoid those things. But the most important or the highest principle in identifying the cause of karma is actually the cause of suffering is actually our own karma. That is the first principle. So we understand that if we want to destroy the karma, then we have to engage in bhakti. And the more we engage in bhakti, the more our karmas are destroyed. And in that sense, whenever we are consuming prasadam, we must have the faith that it will take care of things. But obviously, ultimately, it's a matter of, you know, faith. It's a matter of personal advancement also. And it's a matter of taking precautions for the health also. So devotees may have, you know, like for example, so certain dishes might not be favorable for our health. So we may avoid taking that because we are not on a platform where we are spontaneously attracted to the Lord, or we have ultimate faith in the Lord that whatever I consume, it will, you know, it will have, even though if there are some consequences, but I will be able to overcome those. Okay, it will not disturb me. It will not disturb my devotion. If we have that kind of faith, then yeah, whatever you eat as prasadam, that is all going to be favorable. But if we are not on that stature, then definitely we can also make have certain restrictions on what to eat, what not to eat. So every devotee can have a personal preference and a diet which they can follow. But as far as spreading that to others, that is not necessary. This is what actually Prabhupada meant when he was, like, you know, in our last plus class, we have discussed this, that how one devotee was emphasizing the eating of raw sugar, raw, everything raw and natural and everything. Prabhupada said that, see, Brahmananda is here. Nothing happened to Brahmananda. And Brahmananda can also kill you, you know, because he was insisting a couple of times. So this is very clear that when we surrender to the Guru, when we are in the process of surrender to Krishna, then Krishna is directly in control of our karma and he will take care of many things. So one may have differences and diets and everything, but ultimately whatever cures at that moment, that is actually the best thing. So here Prabhupada is saying, although, see, Prabhupada himself actually took Ayurvedic treatments. He preferred Ayurveda over allopathy. Okay, but at the same time here he says very clearly that Western medicine is very advanced and whatever works, you have to take it. So, and then Prabhupada at one place also said that Ayurveda is preventative, it is not curative, which is true. Even in my own experience also, I had the realization that Ayurveda is not curing me. Whenever there is a difficulty problem, it's not curing. It, you know, you can take prevention before the disease will come. But once the disease comes, it's not necessary Ayurveda will solve it. Okay, so now maybe it may work with some devotees, it may not work with other devotees. It's not necessary that Ayurveda works for all the devotees. It does not. Okay. And so, whichever devotee they would prefer to get treated, you know, in what, whichever way they think that it will treat them 100%, then they can go ahead with that particular treatment. So there is no, Prabhupada never put overemphasis on Ayurveda or allopathy or anything else. He just wanted to make sure that devotees should be healthy and they should execute their Krishna consciousness with good health. That was his main concern. So if someone thinks that Ayurveda is a better option and, you know, even without allopathy, I can go ahead and, but the fact that if they are suffering in that process and if it is taking a longer time to heal, then definitely allopathy also is a alternative option. We can go ahead with that. So there is no restriction in terms of which medicine we have to take. Okay, so this is, I hope this is clear. If there are any questions or comments on this. Okay. Yeah. It's ultimately Krishna who is going to destroy the karmas. And that's why anything connected to Krishna is actually our first preference. That is what actually Prabhupada meant. Okay. So now, Swati Mataji, would you like to continue? Hare Krishna, Swati Madhuri, yeah. So, you have some problem, right, speaking?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Huh?
You can hear me, right?
Not able to hear you clearly.
Oh,
okay. It's okay, Madhuri. Nirvika, would you like to continue?
Prabhuji, I just have cold. I might just start sneezing. That's the reason I don't want to say right now.
Okay, so, okay. Now coming to Angel Mataji, are you there?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, you can continue.
Moksha Lakshmi. Once some devotees from Bombay and the little brass Ras Bihari. 1 minute, I'll just wear my. Once some devotees from Bombay and the little brass Radha Ras Bihari deities from the Bombay temple met Prabhupada in Ahmedabad for some preaching engagements. Prabhupada had come from Vrindavan. In Ahmedabad, Prabhupada was speaking in a fairly big room full of important people when he said, "To be born as a Bengali or a Gujarati is a special birth. Krishna's father was a Gujarati." All the ladies and gentlemen were smiling happily. Prabhupada was able to charm everyone. Also in Ahmedabad, Prabhupada told Yashomati Nandan to give class because Yashomati Nandan was Gujarati and he spoke Gujarati, although the gentlemen there all spoke English. Prabhupada was ready to delegate important duties to his devotees. He wanted his devotees to take responsibility for this movement. It was not that he was going to sit there and do everything. He wanted us all to push on this movement together.
Hari bol, Hari bol, Hari bol. So, I think you can guess the reason of my laughing. Yeah. Aditya Prabhu, are you there?
Yes, yes, I know you would turn to me.
And Nand Baba was Gujarati.
No, I'm not laughing because of that. I'm laughing because Prabhupada said Bengali or Gujarati is special birth. So, Aritra, you must be also very happy.
Yeah. I'm glad that I'm able to follow in the footsteps of Prabhupada. That's it.
Okay. So we are not promoting any caste here, but anyways, definitely whoever is connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, they are all very special. And even as a Bengali or a Gujarati, if they do not take advantage of that opportunity, then they are unfortunate. So, Prabhupada did say that Gujaratis, they are devotees of Krishna because right from the beginning, they are worshipping Krishna, and, you know, just because they are connected to Gujarat, and Dwarka is, you know, the place of Krishna. So, in that probably context, you know, Prabhupada said that being a Gujarati is very special because they are intimately, you know, at least in terms of worshipping Krishna. So we have seen that many Gujaratis, they are worshipping Krishna, and Bengali because they are connected to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, coming to the point of Krishna's father was a Gujarati. So actually, you know, this is... Now Krishna's father means who? Vasudev or Nand Maharaj? Because when Krishna was in Dwarka, he was with Vasudev. Nand Maharaj was in Braj. But if you consider the lineage of whether it was just Vasudev or Nand Maharaj, they belong to the Yadu dynasty. And so Vasudev was in Mathura. Okay. He was a Kshatriya. Nand Maharaj was a coward boy, a coward man. So now in what context Prabhupada is saying, I think, you know, it is basically the fact that just because they moved from Mathura to Dwarka, and then all these Yadu dynasty, they resided for a long time in Dwarka. So in that sense, Prabhupada probably said that Krishna's father was a Gujarati. Sometimes we say like that, because if a person is living for a long time, so they learn the language also of that particular area, although they are not originally belonging to that particular dialect, but just because they have shifted to that region, they also learn over a period of time. So in that sense, I believe that Prabhupada said that Krishna's father was a Gujarati. I'm not sure about any Shastric reference for this, but as far as we know that Vasudev and Nand Maharaj both were connected with the land of Vraj, land of Mathura, and obviously there the language, so generally it is mentioned in the Shastra that in Mathura and Dwarka, in Mathura, in the spiritual world, Dwarka and Mathura, they commonly speak Sanskrit, and in Vraj Bhumi they speak in Vraj Bhasha. Okay. So, this much information we have. I think this is mentioned by Sanatan Goswami or someone. This much information is mentioned, but we are not aware of, if any of these personalities were Gujaratis. So, I think it's probably in the context of the fact that they had lived in Gujarat for a long period of time, and also to attract the Gujaratis in Gujarat. Because here Prabhupada is preaching, so when we try to connect with the people in their local language, then they are easily connected and they appreciate more. So by saying this, you know, that Nand Maharaj was also a Gujarat, or Vasudev was a Gujarati, people of Gujarat, they feel happy. You know, they, Prabhupada made this comment that to be born as Bengali or Gujarati is a special birth. So immediately we think that, okay, we are fortunate. So similarly, others also feel that that their lineage was connected to directly to Krishna by Krishna's father. So that way they will also feel proud, and that way they can actually appreciate more. So in a preaching context, probably Prabhupada said like that. So this is my understanding. I'm not sure about any particular reference in Shastra about Krishna's father was a Gujarati. So any comments on this? No question, no comments.
Yeah, this is a good.
Yeah, does it make sense? You know, like what I explained about being a Gujarati, and Krishna's father being a Gujarati. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is that we wouldn't know like how languages have developed over time, because
Gujarati, can you speak louder?
I'm saying we wouldn't know, like, if you are going to talk about some Krishna's father being Gujarati, okay, so it's very difficult to tell how and at what point the languages have developed into what they are today. Like, was Gujarati a language even back then? Bengali is much more, like, you can say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time is much closer to our time. Like, it's just like 500 some years ago. And we know that Bengali as a language was there at that time. So it's difficult to tell by language Gujarati or not, but yes, the region of Gujarat was existing. So in that way, it makes total sense that since they migrated to Dwarka, and Dwarka is in Gujarat, so you can, it makes full sense to say that, okay, that lineage or the Krishna's family members, they all lived in Gujarat, so they were Gujarati, that.
Yeah.
One more point that I was thinking is, and this is like a very good way to like a good preaching hook, like, you immediately make, and Prabhupada is expert at that, you immediately make people favorable by giving them a sense of, you know, they're giving them a sense of prestige for their legacy. Oh, you belong to this land which is so sacred because Krishna lived with his family here. But if you see, even in the southern India, South India, you will see the people in South India are generally, like, through perception, you can say they are naturally very pious. Like, they are more likely to be religiously inclined. I know religion is very encompassing. It also includes demigod worship. But in South India, people are generally more inclined towards religion, towards, worship of, some kind of, there is a kind of sacredness that they always value in their lifestyles. So that way, they also, like, if you see Gujarati, yes, in Gujarat people are predominantly vegetarian, people are religious minded, but in Bengal it's not like that. Most of Bengal I will say is not really religious,
right?
But South India, we'll get a general perception. One of your classes you had mentioned that in South India they are more tempered down, they are more they're more inclined towards spirituality, religion, they value them. You see what I'm saying? So the explanation you gave, yes, that makes sense, but it's just also another perspective I'm presenting.
Yeah, so that's a good point. And I would also like to add another point that, for example, I mean, you know, it just struck me that something which is relevant to myself, you know, because my wife is actually she is a Gujarati, but they speak Marathi.
Mm-hmm.
So right from the beginning, they are speaking Marathi. And that way, their culture is more kind of, you know, Maharashtrian culture rather than a Gujarati culture. So even if they are not Maharashtrans, they are Gujaratis, but because since they have adopted that kind of culture right from the beginning, and they have been speaking that language, they are identified as more of a Maharashtran, connected to Maharashtran culture. So similarly here also, even Vasudev probably might not be, in terms of speaking Gujarati, he might not be, his mother tongue might not be Gujarati. But just because they have shifted to Gujarat and they have spent long time there, so probably that's the reason, they have got familiar with that culture. So basically what we are saying here is that it's not necessary that Prabhupada saying that, he was a Gujarati means that he spoke Gujarati, or originally he was a descendant from Gujarat. It's not necessary. This is what, is my understanding.
I'm
not sure when Gujarati language came into existence, because maybe it was before Krishna's time, or maybe it was after that. I'm not sure about that. But even if you assume that it came after Krishna's time, then we can say that it makes more sense to say that Vasudev was connected more to the culture of Gujarat rather than the language. Because the language manifested at a later time. But before that, Vasudev was already accustomed to the culture, the environment which was in that particular region. So that way he was a Gujarati. And even if we say that Gujarati language came into existence before Krishna's appearance also, or before Krishna, then also we may say that, okay, Vasudev must have known Gujarati because just by living there for so many years. So it is not so difficult to grasp language. So things are possible. Yeah, okay. So, is this clear? I mean, does this make sense to all the devotees? Okay, next.
Prabhuji, Angel is already sleeping. Angel is already sleeping now. So you want me to continue?
Okay. So would you like to continue?
Yeah, I can continue. No problem.
Okay. We'll finish in 10-15 minutes now.
Okay. This Tamal Krishna Goswami, na? That one, na Prabhuji?
Yeah.
Tamal Krishna Goswami. Prabhupada was speaking to some Indian people in his room in Vrindavan. He was upset because some of his god brothers criticized his sannyasi titles because they couldn't read Sanskrit. Prabhupada said, "Where does it say that one must be able to read Sanskrit to go back to Godhead? Where does it say that?" He was adamant. He said, "My disciples may be disqualified in so many ways, but they have one qualification. Whatever I tell them to do, they do. They have full faith in what I say." I appreciated that point because in terms of etiquette, we certainly were not qualified. In fact, Prabhupada said, "I know they often make mistakes in terms of etiquette, but whatever I tell them to do, they do." Our good fortune was that we were following the Lord's pure devotee, and despite all disqualifications, that one qualification surpassed every good qualification anyone else might have.
Yeah, wonderful realization by Tamal Krishna Maharaj. So this is the primary principle, the primary characteristics of a disciple, the primary duty, the foundation, that they have to, the most important thing is we have to follow the spiritual master and we should have the faith. Implicit faith in the spiritual master. So this is actually the first and foremost quality a disciple should try to inherit. And later on, all these other things will be compensated. Or whatever lacking is there, Krishna will make up for that. Okay. Yeah. But if you focus on other things and if you do not follow the spiritual master, then we are nowhere. So the highest principle is to always try to follow the spiritual master and everything else will come. Okay, any comments? Okay, you can continue.
Okay. Nischintya. In Hawaii, Prabhupada told Sudama Maharaj that the devotees could maintain their health by going swimming every day in the ocean. And Sudama Maharaj thought that the devotees would just take a dip and come out, but they'd go swimming all day. Sudama Maharaj said, Prabhupada, no, no. So Prabhupada said, okay, but at least once a week they must go swimming. So it was very pleasant and joyful in Hawaii. But Prabhupada regularly reminded us that even though we were in a heavenly place, we were still in the material world and that we needed to pay attention to our service and not get distracted by heavenly pleasures.
Yeah. So here Prabhupada is actually asking the devotees to take care of their health by regularly going for swimming. Yeah, so Prabhupada recommended swimming and dancing in Kirtan as the most effective way of maintaining our health. Yeah, but at the same time, you know, there are certain leelas of Prabhupada where he said that if obviously one becomes too attached to swimming, then one will take birth as a fish in the next life. So we have to make sure that we are not getting attached to all these different facilities in the material world. Okay, next.
Tamal Krishna Goswami. Krishna gives intelligence to his surrendered devotee. So by the grace of Krishna, Prabhupada knew everything because he knew Krishna. He knew, for example, when it was appropriate to quote a particular verse. Prabhupada's son, Vrindavan Chandra, told me that during his Grihastha ashram, Prabhupada studied the Bhagavatam for 4 hours every day and worshipped Radha Krishna deities in the morning. He would awaken the deity, then offer aarti, bathe the deity, personally cook for the deity, and sew the deity's clothing. He really took care of those deities. What we know of Srila Prabhupada, we know from after he came to America. We don't know everything that happened before that. And we certainly don't know how Krishna and he are related. Prabhupada was able to hear from Krishna everything he needed to know. Prabhupada's learning is a combination of both his studying and also Krishna's revelation to him.
Yeah, very, very deep realization. That ultimately knowledge is revealed when we try to satisfy the spiritual master, and that knowledge is converted to realization and it is converted to advancement in spiritual life. So here what Maharaj is saying is that Prabhupada did put effort from his end by regularly reading the Bhagavatam 4 hours every day and worshipping the deities every day. So see, now worshipping the deities is a very practical form of service to the Lord. And Bhagavatam, now definitely we don't say that Bhagavatam is not, you know, theoretical knowledge, because Bhagavatam is enlightening us about the confidential truths of spiritual life. So it is also revealing us to us the highest form of worship of the Lord. And it is also, obviously, there are so many things that the Bhagavatam is teaching us. So we don't deny the fact that Bhagavatam is not just a knowledge, but it is also a revelation from the Lord. And that's why it's recommended that we do Nityam Bhagavata Seva every day by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, taking shelter of the Bhagavatam. But Bhagavatam also very clearly says, ultimately the conclusion of Bhagavatam is that unless we serve the dust of the feet of the lotus feet of the devotee, we cannot understand all these principles. So ultimately, you know, the Bhagavatam has to be studied. But again, we are learning the Bhagavatam from a pure devotee. By the insight of a pure devotee, we are learning the Bhagavatam. So it's a parallel process. So it's a process of effort, and it is also finally the mercy of the Supreme Lord. That's how many things are revealed to us. Even though we might not study those things in the Shastra, things are revealed to us, or there is some conviction within us which says that probably this is the reality, this is the truth. And then later on, we will actually find all these things in the Shastra. It has happened many times. You know, it happens with devotees many times. But they have strong convictions about certain things. And then later on, they have read in the Shastra. And so it is kind of confirmed. Okay. And the other way around, if you see, devotees have known by studying from the Shastra. So there is a lot of information available in the Shastra, which we know only after studying from the Shastra. And there is information which is revealed to us from within our hearts, and then later on it's confirmed by the Shastra. Right? So these two processes should go parallel. In fact, ultimately it should, you know, the direction should be that of revelation, which means that your activities should be so pure that Krishna always reveals himself in all these activities. And at such point of time, Krishna will also reveal the knowledge directly. So it's not necessary to actually read the Shastra. So those who are Nitya Siddhas, you know, they had full realization of Krishna's truth, of his energies, of his potencies. Everything is revealed to them just by chanting the holy name. But obviously they are, because they are completely pure devotees. So this is what is most important, that the revelation has to be there. You may put a lot of efforts by studying the Shastra, by engaging in some form of discussion, trying to analyze different things. But unless Krishna will reveal himself, you cannot actually know anything, or you cannot realize anything. So the mercy of the Guru and Krishna, they are most important. Without that, there is no question of realization. There is no question of revelation. So now see, the Maharaj is again sharing that Prabhupada's method was that of effort as well as revelation. And I think, you know, he actually led his own example for others, that he studied the Bhagavatam. So he is actually in the Bhagavad Vidhi, or he's following the Bhagavat Marg. At the same time, he also worshipped the deities, which is a very practical way of serving the Lord. Okay, and that's Panchratrik Marg. For pure devotees, or for Uttamadhikaris, or for spontaneous devotees, or for the devotees of Krishna, this can be also said to be that of Rag Marg or Bhagavat Marg. The deity worship can also become Bhagavat Marg. You know, because when you are worshipping Krishna in that way, when you are sure that you are connected to Krishna in a particular relationship in Goloka, in Vraj, then obviously it becomes Rag Marg. Then it does not become Panchratrik Vidhi or following the rules and regulations. So even in Panchratrik Vidhi or in deity worship, we can approach the deities in the form of Rag Marg. Okay. And so Prabhupada showed us both the tracks. He gave us both the tracks, and he demonstrated by example. Okay. And this is what is important, that with knowledge, service has to be there. These two things should go simultaneously. Then Krishna will reveal, and our efforts will also have the reaction. Okay. Another point that Maharaj mentioned is that these things are unknown to us. What Prabhupada's relationship, what Prabhupada he had with Krishna, we don't know much about it. Because many things of Prabhupada's earlier life is not mentioned explicitly. We only know most of the things that Prabhupada did after establishing ISKCON. Or maybe you can say that during his, I mean, the Leela Amrit is there, but many things Prabhupada did not mention to us. So this is just one of the examples of what Prabhupada used to do when he was in Grihastha Ashram. Can you imagine in Grihastha Ashram for 4 hours every day Bhagavatam? That's a big task. And along with that, the deity worship would have taken another 3 to 4 hours. depending on the way Prabhupada is worshipping the deities. Plus, what I have heard is that Prabhupada used to chant 64 rounds, I think, when he was in Grihastha Ashram. Probably, maybe sometimes, maybe not every time, but he was chanting a lot of times 64 rounds. So you can just imagine what was the stature of Prabhupada and what connection he had with Krishna. So we are not aware of that. Yeah. Okay, so any question or comment on this? Yeah, and you know, Maharaj is making a very important point that Prabhupada was able to hear whatever he needed to know. So this is how Krishna will actually reveal to us. When we don't have time, and you know, like for example, if we are giving a lecture and if we do not have time to prepare for the class, because we are so much engaged in Krishna's service that we do not have time. But when we give the class, Krishna will probably personally, you know, through the super soul or personally by coming, he will dictate everything to us. Or we may say something which we may not even have imagined that will just come out of the mouth. So this indicates that Krishna is personally helping the devotee. Okay, this is revelation that Krishna will reveal the knowledge whenever it is required, whenever it is needed. Like, you know, Prabhupada, as I said earlier, that Prabhupada used to display, certain times he used to display some mystic potencies. And so this was not actually, this is not the main role of a devotee. The mystic potencies are just exhibited in order to teach us something. And whenever the appropriate moment come, Prabhupada actually displayed all these things. So it is also possible that actually Krishna manifested these qualities through Prabhupada that time. Although Prabhupada had no intention of displaying these things. But sometimes it just happens that Krishna will make the devotee an instrument to exhibit all these qualities. Okay, so similarly here also, when we worship the Lord with pure devotion, without any motive, and our main goal is in you know, every situation to please the Lord, how he is best pleased, then Krishna will actually reveal himself accordingly. And even though we don't have the knowledge, but Krishna will inspire us from within, and that knowledge will be confirmed later on by the Shastra. Okay, so this is very important. I don't know how many devotees have experienced this, that maybe certain times they have certain convictions and then later on they see in the Shastra. Any of you have experienced this, you know, this type of situation?
Yes, Prabhu, especially when we take classes, sometimes people ask questions during the classes. Then the devotees ask questions. We'll be a little hesitant, but we'll tell the answer. But the next paragraph or next page, Prabhupada will be giving that the answer will be there. But before reading that, to that, we will be able to answer that question.
Right. Yeah. So many times, in fact, in our classes also, the same thing has happened, right? If you remember certain occasions.
Yes, true.
Yeah. So that's true. Any other example, any other devotee would like to share? Anyone has got any experience like this? So, okay, let me share one, you know, I would like to share one very interesting experience. And obviously, there are many experiences like this, but what comes to my mind is, there is a description of Krishna in the Bhagavatam when he is entering the forest of Vrindavan. So that time, you know, he's described as being wearing some ornaments on the body. So at one point of time, I was thinking that how is it possible that Krishna can wear all these ornaments? Because he is completely in Madhurya Bhav for the devotees. So it is not possible that Krishna will wear, you know, I mean, for me also to think of myself entering with ornaments when we are in a family, it's very strange. Because ornament is a sign of opulence. And we, like, you know, for example, in the beginning itself, Rajiv Prabhu was mentioning that Prabhuji, we are, you know, very free, relaxed. And it's so informal for us that, you know, that we are connected and, you know, we are just about to go to bed. So we are not like, I mean, there is no formality in our class that, you know, we have to dress properly and all that, you know. So we, when we are in a family, we are accustomed to deal without opulence. Okay, we cannot see opulence. So I was just thinking like that. How does the Bhagavatam mention all these things, you know, that Krishna is coming and he is wearing the ornament and all. So later on, after some time, one of my Shiksha Gurus, one Mataji, so who is Shesha Prabhu's wife, her name is Madhumati Mataji. So she wrote to me that I just heard, I just heard from some devotee that when Krishna enters the forest, so when he goes from his house to the forest, he is wearing those ornaments, but as soon as he enters the forest, he removes all the ornaments and then he wears only garlands of flowers, or you know, he will decorate with the mineral, you know, minerals and all that, and very naturally he will dress and he will go to meet the gopis. So immediately I thought, wow, you know, this is something. And so Mataji wrote to me like this, and she asked me, can you search this reference and find out for me where this is mentioned? So I was very happy and I was very enthusiastic because I had the same conception. Okay, I had the same conviction that when he's going with the gopis, you know, he is not with the ornaments. So then I did some research and then I found it out that this was mentioned in a class by Radha Govind Maharaj in one of his lectures, and he quoted Sanatan Goswami. So Sanatan Goswami in one of his books, he mentions this point that when Krishna is going to the forest to meet the Vrajvasi or the gopis, especially the gopis, he will remove all these ornaments and he will go very naturally. So this is called intimacy. There is only sweetness. There is no question of opulence. Okay. Like, you know, even when we see the deities, when we see that Radha and Krishna are decorated or they are ornamented or they are dressed quite opulently, we cannot appreciate that. Because, you know, Radha and Krishna, they are actually cowherd boy and cowherd girl. So it looks very odd and strange to see them dress very opulently. Although obviously Prabhupada did mention that they should be worshipped very opulently like Lakshmi Narayan. And because we are not on the spontaneous platform, because we are on the Vidhi Marg, we should start with Vidhi Marg. So we should dress them very opulently. But actually, Krishna and Radharani, they are definitely not in opulence. They are simple cowherd boy and woman of Braj. So this is how we have convictions, and then it is confirmed from the Shastra later on. So we might not use knowledge, or we might not study somewhere, but it just comes automatically. Okay. So does this make sense?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Yeah, Prabhuji.
Okay. So like that, you know, there are many experiences which I think devotees, they must have got over a period of time. And this is the way, we can actually understand how Krishna is revealing to us certain things. Okay, all right. So we can stop now. And I think I have to stop recording also before I exit. And so Yeah, we next week, next Saturday, so Maharaj is going to come and request all the devotees to join. We will be making the flyer very soon and we'll be distributing that. So you can all share with your devotee friends, whoever you want. And I think Ujwala Mataji, you will be starting. I'm not sure if my internet connection will become strong next week. I hope that the modem will come and everything will work out nicely. But I don't want to take a chance because Maharaj is there. So I would request Ujwala Mataji if she can be present before Maharaj will come. And I will ask Maharaj or his assistant to arrive maybe 10 or 15 minutes before the class will start so that we can set up things. And even if my video is not working, but at least the host video is working and Maharaj video is working, that's most important. Yeah. So that way we can coordinate. Okay. And I think maybe we might have to also coordinate one day before, or we might have to test it one day before. So I request Ujwala Mataji to kindly help in this. And also request Aritra Prabhu, you also, you know, be present on Saturday. In case, you know, if there is some kind of coordination required from your end, because you are in the US, so.
Yeah, I can make like Aritra Prabhu can become the co-host.
Yeah, yeah. See, Madhuri, you also, but I think you will be there, right?
Yeah, definitely I'll be there. Like this, I can make Aritra Prabhu also a host, or we can become the co-host and both of us can manage.
Madhuri, can you speak louder?
I can make like today, I can make Aritra Prabhu as host also. Otherwise, we both can be there as a host and co-host. So both of us can manage.
So how many people can become hosts?
Co-hosting another 3 to 4 people can.
Yeah, okay. So you can make Aritra, you can make me as a co-host and you can be the host. And so that way we will be, you know, we'll try to prepare everything. Before Maharaj will start the class.
Yes, Prabhu. Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Aritra, you will be there, right?
Next Saturday. Yeah. Of course. 13th June, right? 13th, Saturday.
Yeah, coming Saturday. Yeah, I mean next Saturday.
Okay.
Okay. Right. So, thank you all the devotees for joining.
Thank you, Prabhuji.